Jimmy, little Jimmy, he was a dreamer. One night years ago, when it was time for Jimmy to go to bed, his mom, as usual, did her normal, "Come on, Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. Get up now, head upstairs." Usually Jimmy, upon that announcement, he'd just hop up like any old good boy and go right off to bed. But that night, the moon was full and bright. And his mom, a while later, walking through, found Jimmy. Saw his silhouette there in the big picture window in the living room. And as any mom would do, in the most loving of tone, she says, "Jimmy, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in bed." And Jimmy, in all honesty and sincerity, says, "Mom, look at the moon. Look at it." She said, "I don't care about the moon. It's time to go to bed." And she sort of shuffled him off upstairs, and slowly he started to make his way up the steps, and he turned to mom and said, "Mommy, you know, I'm going to walk on the moon someday." And who would have known that that boy who was dreaming in the light of that moon so many years ago, that 32 years later, astronaut James Irwin, would fulfill that dream and step onto the moon's surface. That's dreaming big. Now, he wasn't much older than Jimmy when Joey, a shepherd boy and farmer's son, better known as Joseph, had a series of dreams. He dreamed how one day his brothers and mother and father would bow before him years later when he'd be some person of authority. And somewhat like Jimmy, and certainly like Joey, God today is encouraging you and me to dream great dreams for him. We're in a sermon series called Heroes. We're looking at some of the Old Testament heroes of the faith. We've heard about Abraham and Sarah, and today we're looking at that dreamer, Joseph. See, we love to dream. Even our songs have dreams in them. From the earliest days, our kids learn how to dream and imagine. Growing up, I loved to climb trees. We had this perfect climbing tree on the right side of our property there in Lansing. And oh, how I love to climb trees. And I would go to bed and I would, you know, this is sort of in my generation, I would dream that I was Indiana Jones. And I was swinging from tree to tree, from jungle to jungle. And then as an early teen, I played golf on the golf team. And I remember quite often the night before a match, I would dream about the round. I'd be playing. Oh, I could see myself. I'd be walking the course, and I'd be dressed like the shark. You know who that was, Greg Norman, back in the day. And I'd be striking the ball like the bear, Jack Nicklaus. Those were really good dreams. Rarely did they ever come to be, but they were really good dreams. Yesterday, in the Joe Johnson Memorial Golf Outing, I had the privilege of playing there, and I was prepared to have played more like a lame duck than a shark or a bear. I hadn't swung a club in 7 months. However, I want you to ask me, who won the closest to the pin challenge? Who you ask? Someone? Thank you for asking. I'm glad you asked. Now, I don't want to sound like today's Old Testament character, strutting around in his coat of many colors or something like that. However, I will say right now, I was about 3.5 feet from taking $10,000 from the Francis Insurance Agency. I almost got a hole in one. 3 feet from 10 grand, which gets me nothing except a little sleeve of balls. But that's all right. I won. And that's all I'm going to say about that. And I have a picture on my phone if you don't believe me. Okay. Today's dreamer, if you will, today's Old Testament hero is Joseph. We find Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. Genesis, you know, tells the story of creation, the fall of man, the great flood, the establishment of the nation of Israel, and it chronicles the stories of many of the patriarchs, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob. The life of Joseph covers 13 chapters of Genesis. Now you're sitting back, oh my, he's going to preach on 13 chapters. No, we'll get out of here at a decent time. We'll simply have an overview of those 13 chapters. But Genesis chapter 37 begins this way, if you wanted to open up to Genesis, the book of Genesis 37, starting with verse 1. So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived. This is the history of Jacob's family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks with his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpha. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing. Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gave Joseph a special gift, a beautiful robe, or what we know as a coat of many colors. But his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's partiality. They couldn't say one kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brothers, causing them to hate him even more. Joey here is a dreamer. He had a dream and he began to share that with those around him. See, God had a plan for Joseph's life, a plan eventually that we would see would be a plan for hope and salvation and restoration. God was going to use Joseph in some crazy cool ways. These were God's dreams and God's plans for Joseph's life. As you've heard already, tonight we have a very special reception for Pastor Steve and Tracy Gibson. They're not here with us this morning. They're actually being interviewed and introduced at the Warren Woods Church of the Nazarene, who oversees the Hope Center today. But as Steve stood before you a few weeks ago and shared, no one asked him to leave. No, when he received a call about the prospect of joining the team at the Hope Center, it was as if God was fulfilling a dream that had been in his heart and mind. Steve couldn't escape this dream, this big dream, this calling to be a part of the work there in Macomb County. But anyways, just like Joseph, and just like Pastor Steve, God has good things in store for those who serve him. You know this, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. These words are for you and me today as well. You as an individual and us collectively as a church. God has big plans, big dreams, big things in store for us, I'm convinced. God wants to fill us and use us for his glory. He wants to see his kingdom come here as it is in heaven. When we're yielded to his plans, that's where we find joy and peace and purpose and life. Well, back to our Old Testament hero, Joseph's story. Joseph had some more dreams, and he shared them with his family. Listen to this dream, he announced. When we were out in the field tying up bundles of grain, my bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it. So are you going to be our king, are you? His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and what he'd said. See, Joseph had another dream after that, and he dreamed, and he told his brothers and his father about it. He dreamed that all of them would bow down to him. Joseph was hated and taunted by his brothers. They didn't like his dream for sure. And his dad wasn't even all that certain of this boy's dreams. And the rest of Joseph's story, if we went through those 13 chapters, the rest of Joseph the dreamer's story is a crazy one, full of betrayal, excitement, fear, and eventually restoration and salvation. Joseph's brothers, they were so sick of him that they planned to kill him. But instead, they ended up throwing him in a pit, and eventually they sold him into slavery. And those gypsy traders who bought Joseph sold him in Egypt to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. And their things, at least for a little while, began to pick up for Joey. Things were going well, and God was with him, and Potiphar could tell. And so Potiphar placed Joseph in charge of his whole household, which in that day was a very big deal. And while there, Joseph was falsely accused of harming Potiphar's wife, and he ended up in prison. But the Lord again was with Joseph. God was with him even there in the prison. And while in prison, Joseph, the dreamer, had a chance to interpret a couple of guys' dreams for them, to help them figure out what their own dreams meant. Finally, to make a long story at least a little bit shorter, time goes by. He's been locked up for quite a while. And eventually, Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, who he himself had some crazy dreams. And Pharaoh asked Joseph to help him understand what his dreams meant. Genesis chapter 41, verse 15 reads this way. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Oh, I can't do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So then Pharaoh begins to describe his dreams to Joseph. One about seven fat, sleek, evidently good-looking cows. And after them, seven other cows, scrawny and very ugly. Now, I don't know that I've ever seen a good-looking cow. I don't know that I could discern really between a good-looking cow and a not-so-good-looking cow. But evidently, the scripture says that these were really, really ugly cows. Now, Pastor Kara and Justin, they're closing on a house with some land in a few short days. And they're planning, this is true, they're planning on having a couple cows on their new property. And I overheard Kara, this is the honest truth, in the office this week, talking to someone about how cute the cows were that they were going to get. Now, maybe those are the cows Pharaoh was dreaming about. I don't know. I mean, there's been times, just last week, I sat down at Logan's Steakhouse and said, man, that's a good-looking steak. I've said that before. Even yesterday at the golf outing, that burger looked pretty good. I said, boy, that's a good-looking hamburger. But never, friends, never, ever have I looked at a cow and said, man, that's a good-looking cow. Or as Kara said, oh, these cows are so cute. I don't know what that means. But anyway, in Pharaoh's dreams, the scrawny, ugly cows ate up the good-looking cows. Then Pharaoh described another dream that he had that was all about grain. And some grain grew and prospered, and other grain withered and died in the sun. And Joseph said to Pharaoh these words, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows will be so severe. God would use Joseph, listen, to save his people. After helping Pharaoh understand what his dreams meant, Joseph would be brought in from prison and made a ruler in Egypt. Joseph's dreams and the interpretation of dreams helped them prepare for the drought and store up food for those dry days that were a-coming. Joseph, the dreamer, helped save the people from a devastating famine. And later, as the story goes, Joseph's brothers would come to Egypt seeking grain, and they would bow down to some Egyptian leader. And Joseph would reveal himself to his brothers and humbly forgive their sins against him. And Joseph's dreams from so many years before would come to be. God's dreams for Joseph were all about saving God's people. And friends, that's still God's hope and plan and dream for us today. Saving people. You see, we have some dreams around here. We the last few weeks, you've been hearing about our big four priorities. See, we have some dreams around Central Church of the Nazarene. Your pastors and church board have spent the last 6 months seeking the Lord's will and praying, and we want to see his preferred future for us. We know this, Ephesians 3:20. We know this for sure, friends. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you believe that today? I hope that you do. See, God has placed within our hearts hopes and dreams that we sense that he wants to fulfill in us and through us. And over the next month or so, we're going to look at how we can pursue some of those dreams. You'll be hearing again and again about the four big priorities that will guide us in the days ahead. Those connecting points that Pastor Rob has referred to, connecting to God, connecting to each other, connecting to the community, connecting to the world. You see, we believe that God wants us to dream and dream big, because he's a big God and he wants to do big things, and he wants to do them in us and he wants to do them through us. Jesus said that he was going to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He loves the church. Jesus has extraordinary dreams for his church. And what are those dreams? What are those priorities? Well, dream number one, that people would glorify God with their lives. That's worship. Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. See, our highest calling as believers is to love God, to worship him with all of our hearts. But what does that look like? Well, I think, one, we'd come here on Sundays. We come here Sunday mornings expectant, ready. Sunday mornings would be a time of joyful celebration of the presence of God. But not just Sundays, friends. Well, we think that God wants us to worship him every day of our lives. That's why big priority number one is connecting to God through worship. So, what changes do you need to make to live a life that glorifies God? Then we and the church board have been asking ourselves this question: what changes do we need to make around here at Central to help folks better connect to God through worship? See, we want to do whatever we can to help people glorify God with their lives. That's why big priority number one is connecting to God through worship. Well, what's the second dream that we've sensed, this Joseph-type dreaming? Well, we want to see Christians in loving relationships with one another, helping each other grow in the word and in their faith in God. That's discipleship. That's why big priority number two is connecting to each other. 1 Peter 2 says this: like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, Sarah and I, when we had our first son, Nathan, he at first had some trouble eating. And we had to feed him with this little syringe and this tiny little hose. I suppose not hose is the right term. Tube, that's probably more appropriate. We didn't stick a hose in his mouth. This little syringe and a tiny little tube. And it sure didn't seem like we were feeding him much. It was just a little bit. And I kept saying, Sarah, that can't be enough food. I was convinced. I mean, I've watched ER before. What do these doctors know? We gotta, Sarah, get this boy some meat and potatoes. Well, it didn't take very long for her to shut me up. And it didn't take long, and he began to grow and eat a lot more. And now he's 9 years old, and it seems like he's going through a growth spurt every other day. We can't keep the child in shoes or pants. I apologize. I mean, he walks around church like this, and his toes are all curled up. We'll finish dinner, and Nate, literally not 3 minutes later, he'll go off to play, and he'll turn to me and say, Dad, can I have a snack? I said, we're still cleaning the table. He's like a garbage disposal. But God has called us to grow spiritually, to grow and develop, becoming more and more like Jesus. You see, we can't live and thrive on milk forever. We got to grow. See, we got to have some meat and potatoes. What does that look like? Well, we believe, your church board is convinced that young and old and everyone in between needs to be in a Sunday school class or a small group, some discipleship gathering. That's why big priority number two around here is connecting to each other through discipleship. See, we desperately want God to breathe new life and energy into our Sunday school classes and home groups. That's why we're going to be calling you. We're going to be launching new groups. That's why we're going to be asking you to consider hosting a home group or teaching a class. Because our dream, our hope is that we will all be growing in the Word and in relationship with each other. Dream number three: that Central will be known as a church and a people intimately connected to our community. Big goal number three is connecting to our community. We believe a lot of that's going to be done through service. Our hope, and maybe that word is too gentle of a term. I think our expectation is that every member of our church here would get involved serving somewhere in our community. A few weeks ago, just prior to Easter, some of us went door to door in the neighborhood right around here. We were inviting. We hung about 1,000 invitations to our extravaganza, that kid and family event we did just before Easter. And my assigned area to go door knocking was just a couple streets over. If you go to Donna's Donuts, everybody knows where Donna is. You go to Donna's Donuts, I love her, by the way. She's wonderful. I've never met her, but wow, her donuts are amazing. So you go to Donna's Donuts, just down the street, and there's a street right next to it. And our assignment was to go down that street and then get the streets that were just feeding off of that. And I had our little 6-year-old redhead Tyler. He was assigned with me, and Sarah had Nate, and we were on opposite streets, and we were going door to door, hanging these little invitations and eggs with candy. And honestly, I began to be overwhelmed. The streets were filled with such need. Probably every fourth or fifth house was boarded up or abandoned. And this isn't the north side of Flint, friends. I've been there. I've boarded up houses on some of the most devastated and dangerous streets north of the city. But friends, this was our church's neighborhood. It's right around the corner. We got to the end of one of those streets, and I simply lost it. And Tyler's looking up at me, and he wasn't sure if I'd hurt myself or if I was some freak show. And he looks up and says, "Daddy, why are you crying? What's wrong?" And I said, "Son, look right there." He said, "What?" I said, "That's our church." These streets dead-ended at the back of our property. There's that school back there, and then our ball field. Those streets that we were walking on dead-ended at our property. And I stood there on that street, bawling like a baby, and my son-year-old saying, "What's wrong with Dad?" I said, that's the street that's in the shadow of our church. I said, that is our neighborhood. That's our street. I'm not sure what God was saying to me in those moments, but I know this. I refuse to be that church that neglects its own neighborhood. I absolutely refuse to be that church. We don't want to be known simply as that big church on Bristol. No, we want to be known as a church and a people that loves well, that cares for others, that gives on behalf of the needs around us, that doesn't ignore the plight of our city, but does something about it. A people that don't neglect the children in our schools, but goes to them and points them in a better way. That's our big Joshua-type dream, that we would create an atmosphere of love and acceptance and forgiveness around here that says, if you come around Central, come to Central, friend, because we're going to love you unconditionally, always, and under every circumstance. Do you think we can be that kind of church and that kind of people? Well, that's big priority number three, connecting to our community through service. And then dream number four we have, that we would be an ends of the earth type of church. Jesus said these words, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Big priority number four, connecting to the world through mission. See, we have a responsibility to share God's love with people, not only in our immediate neighborhood, but literally all around the world. So lost people can come to know Jesus as their forever friend and Savior. Well, what does that look like? Well, it's going to look like a comprehensive plan for global missions. Jesus wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. He was serious, and we aren't kidding. We are super serious. We must be a part of sharing the gospel, the love of Jesus, the message of hope all around the world. We're going to be that church that prays for the needs around the globe, that gives sacrificially on behalf of missionary endeavors. And we're going to be that church that gets out of our pew and hops onto an airplane and goes and serves somewhere. That's why big priority number four is connecting to the world through missions. Well, Pastor John, we got to wrap this thing up. Our dreams, our priorities, connecting to God, connecting to each other, connecting to the community, and connecting to the world. We believe God wants us to dream, and to dream big, because he's a God who wants to do big things in us and through us. And I hope that you'll dream with us. You see, Joseph was a dreamer. He placed a dream, a calling on his life. He was going to use Joseph to save his people. Remember, that drought came, and it took over the land. The crops withered. People were starving. People were dying. And I'm not so sure that our day is much different than Joseph's, huh? This is a dry and barren land. People are hurting. People are broken. People are starving. They're so hungry for hope. And God is calling us to respond. This same dream, this same calling, God has placed upon us. And as we worship, as we grow together, as we serve our community, and as we join God's mission around the world, we will be a part of God's saving and reclaiming and redeeming work. Friends, would you dream with me this morning? Can you just imagine what this place, known as Central, would be if we all dreamed great dreams for God? If we said we're less concerned about our own preferences, about our own wants, and wholly yielded ourselves to the Lord and His plans and hopes for this church and this community and this world. A couple months ago that I stood in a shack of a church in Cuba. And I had the chance of proclaiming the truth that Jesus Christ was building His church. That the Lord has promised He was going to build His church. And Scripture says that nothing can stand against it. Nothing can defeat His church. It's said that any one church is just about a generation away from extinction. And friends, that's not us. Because we're going to be a church that's connecting to God through worship, connecting to each other through discipleship, connecting to our community through service, and connecting to the world through mission. Eternal God, we thank You and praise You for the chance to be a part of Your church, the church triumphant. Lord, we believe that Central's best days are yet ahead of her. Lord, we desperately want to be a part of the reclaiming and redeeming work that Genesee County so desperately needs. But not just here, Lord. We understand that work is done around the world and in our homes. So, Lord, we just ask that Your sweet blessing would be upon us. Lord, help us to focus our eyes and our attention on You. May we dream great dreams, not for our own self-benefit. Oh, Lord, may we be Joseph-type dreamers that dream great dreams for You and for our kids and for our schools, for our homes, for our community, and for the world. In Your name we pray. Amen and amen.